If you want to take out your Bibles and open up to Luke chapter 14, we're going to begin there in a moment. I don't know how often during the week you hear excuses from people. Maybe you call a customer service line and you spend time after time making it through the digital maze, only to find out they say, well, there's nothing we can do for you. Great excuse. That really helps. Maybe you've been over to a tire shop and you wanted to get four new tires and you step into there and they say, oh yeah, we got a man who's really fast at that. We'll get to you here pretty fast. You'll be in and out in about 30 minutes. And after about 20 minutes, you look over and you see the technician and he's out there and he's playing a game on his phone. And then you go, you know, get to 30 minutes. You know, how long is it going to be? And he says, well, so our technician's about to go on break and he'll be off here in just a minute. You go, oh boy. Wait a little bit longer and they say, you know, we only have three of those tires in stock, so you'll have to come back another day. Excuses, excuses, excuses. We hear them every day. We almost get so used to them, but it doesn't stop the frustration. We need to understand so often, looking specifically here at Luke chapter 14, Jesus already had some interactions in this chapter. He's healed a man with a withered hand. He has looked at the people and said, you know, you need to be careful on how you sitting down in the places of honor. Maybe you're not the one to be honored. You need to have some humility. He even tells the one who invites himself to this dinner, says, you know, you probably shouldn't have invited me. You should have invited those who are lame or blind and have some kind of difficulty. Those are the ones you should have invited, not me. One person who hears all this sits back, and this is his statement. Look at verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. He says, what a blessing it'll be to eat in God's kingdom. What a wonderful thing it'll be. And Jesus hears that statement. And he says, I've got to do some teaching. I've got to explain a few things to these people if they'll listen. And so he begins in verse 16. And notice it begins with but. As if to say, be careful what you say. But Jesus said to him, and he's talking to this one man specifically. A man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and take a look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. Verse 21. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Here this slave goes out and if you notice within this slave, he does exactly what the master wants. Everything is prepared. They've got everything taken care of. They've gone out before and made the invitations. Now, go out and tell everybody. Go to these people we've invited. Tell them everything's ready. Come on to the big supper. He goes around. What does all these people have for him? Excuses. We run into excuses so often that we've almost become complacent to them. Like, we look for ways that we can find excuses too. Like, well, how come we haven't been faithful in this? Well, you know, these certain events came up and I can't really do that very well. And if you notice it here, one person says, you know what, I bought a tract of ground. And by the way, in the Old Testament, if you read about, you didn't actually purchase ground. What you were doing is you were purchasing the crops that were going to be produced on that ground until the year of Jubilee, which happened every 50 years. So, you go out and you take a look at this ground to see what you got. Why then? Why do it right here when you got an invitation to go to the dinner? You can do that anytime. Another one says, I got five yoke of oxen. I got 10 oxen. They're going to work the ground. He says, I need to go out and I need to see how they look. He says, I need to try them out. I need to hook them up. Maybe you think in present day application, you know what? I got a new piece of farm equipment. I need to go make sure it works the way I want it to. Why now? He says, I've been married. I got married. Congratulate me. Well, I'm not going to leave my home anymore. He says, I'm going to let her tell me what to do. He makes excuses. They all are the same in one sense. They all make an excuse. The slave comes back, reports this to his master. Verse 21 as it continues. Then the head of the household became angry. How do you feel when people give you nothing but excuses? Does it make you go, oh, it's okay, I understand? You don't make any sense. He became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Now, where have they heard that part before? He says, those are the ones that you should invite to your dinner. He says, go out and invite those. Here it is. Master tells the slave, notice verse 22. The slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done and still there's room. He says, we went out and we've done that and there's still room here. Then, verse 23. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. He says, go out and look for people who are not going to make excuses. Step out there to the places. Go to the people who are blind and lame and they can't do these certain things. Invite them. If they make excuses, okay. But those who don't, they'll be right here with me. He says, go out any old place you can find and invite them. And if they make excuses, they'll be away. If they don't, they'll be right here with us and we'll all enjoy it. He says, I want my house filled. I want it filled with guests that I get to feed. What did I tell you about this master? He wants to give. But he's saying, only if they don't make excuses. So if they're going to make excuses, they get whatever they got. Notice the grand conclusion here, verse 24. For I tell you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. What is Jesus really driving at here? Among God's people, if we're a people who start to draw up excuses as to why we don't do things God's way, what is Jesus saying about us coming to the big dinner? He says, you will not be in. We will not make it. I remember being surprised. This is kind of an earthly illustration. I was surprised in high school. We had a couple of people who were really, really bright and smart. I mean, they were blowing the tops off of these standardized tests with perfect scores and things. And one of these guys who was really a genius, if you took his IQ, there's like a month left in school and he drops out, which made me question his genius. About 2 months later after graduation, I just see him out walking along the road, doing nothing. And I thought, why did he give up? You know what he had? Excuses. You know how his life turns out? Very poorly. When we start to look at the commands of God, what is our excuse for not following? What's our excuse in our home? For men not leading? What's our excuse in our homes for moms and dads not training their children? What's our excuse in not being kind and compassionate toward one another, even those who are wicked toward us? What's our excuse? Because Jesus says if we're just going to draw up excuses, we're not going to make it. Now, I want us to see a little bit more application here. Look over at Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to scare you and then I'm going to let you at ease. We're going to cover the whole chapter, but we're only going to look at a handful of verses. Matthew chapter 25. There are three different stories that are told in Matthew 25. The first one deals with five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. The second story that Jesus tells is about slaves who have been given money. 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The third story is about sheep and goats that have been divided out. In the first story, with the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish, they're waiting for the bridegroom to return. And as they wait for him, the 5 foolish realize, we don't have enough oil in our lamps to wait for him. So, here's their response. Look at verse 8. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They said, look, we have a solution for this. You just give us some of yours. Now, I know we didn't work to press it out, and I know we didn't buy it, and I know we didn't do anything for it, but here's what we should do. You should just give us yours. What's their excuse? We didn't care to prepare. We didn't do anything to look ahead. And we expect you to bear our burden. He says, I want you to give it to me. Notice how this continues. Verse 9, but the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. He says this to him. He says, maybe you can go spend your own and do something with it. Turns out, they go off and they leave. The bridegroom returns. They miss it completely. And then I want you to notice how this thing goes on. After they come back, look at verse 11. Later the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the hour, the day, nor the hour. They said, open up to us. What was the bridegroom's response to those who made excuses? I don't know you. You're not coming in. Now, we're going to see a common thread here. I wonder how many times we look around and we see people and we say, boy, it is amazing the way those folks love. It's amazing how kind and patient they are. And we go, you know what? I wish I had that in my life. I wish I had your oil. But I'm not going to pursue it. I'm not going to do anything to get there. I'm not going to trust your commands. I'm not going to go after doing things the way you do them. I just wish that I had it. And then you say, how come I'm such an impatient person? What's my excuse? Where am I going to stand with God? He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. The next story that he brings up is a man, he gives money to his slaves. Now, a talent is worth 15 years worth of wages. So if you want to kind of figure out for yourself what the illustration would be, figure out how much you make in a year and multiply it times 15. Take that number for the one who is given 5, multiply it times 5. For the one who's given 2, multiply it times 2. For the one who's given 1 talent, you already got your number. He does it. He goes away. The 5 earns 5 more, the 2 earns 2 more, and then there's one who has just 1 talent given to him. I want you to look down at verse 24. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. He says, I know who you are, Master. I know who you are in character. But I'm not going to let that change me any. I know that you like to reap where you don't sow. You like to take things from places it's not even belong to you. And so I just got scared and afraid, and I didn't do anything with it at all. I just buried it in the ground. And now here it is, and it's the day. He says, I just want to give you back what's yours. Here you go. Thank you. What is it like for us to come to know God, to see the character that He has, that He wants us to be a people who show grace to one another? And to say, God, I know that's who You are. I know You're the God of all grace. I know You're the God of all peace. But I'm not going to do anything with it. I know you to be tough. I know you demand what you command. I'm not going to do anything with it. I know you. I know who you are. But don't expect me to respond to any. What do you call that? What is that kind of mindset? Just another excuse. But just throw it out there. Notice the response that this servant gets. Look a little bit further down. Look at verse 26. But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Then he goes ahead and makes the application. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We're getting a step further away. In the first story, it's about, "I don't know you." Now it's, "Worthless, lazy slave. You will be thrown out, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't even want you around me." How did that happen? Just another excuse. Take a look at the next one. The next story is about the sheep and the goats being divided out in front of Jesus. I want you to look down at verse 44 in the story. Here they are. Jesus just told them, "You know, whenever I had need, you never responded to me." And here's their response to it all. Verse 44. "Then they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?'" When did we ever not take care of you? Verse 45. "Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" He says, there are so many opportunities that happen on a day-to-day basis. And he's talking about specifically here within God's people. Because he's looking over at the sheep and saying, "You didn't do it to these." He says, "If you'd have done it for them, I would have counted it like you're doing it for me." They said, "Well, we never saw any opportunity." It's kind of like saying, "Well, I'm just going to keep my head buried in the sand and hope that I don't see anything, because then I'm not accountable for it, right?" Look at how this one ends. Verse 46. "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Where are excuses going to end? "I don't know you. You wicked, lazy slave. Eternal punishment." I don't think it's really our problem that we don't know what Jesus teaches. I think the heart of our problem is we find easy ways to make excuses to not follow. And we think that we'll stand okay. Because we look around at the world and say, "See all the excuses they make? At least I'm not like them." I think of it in these terms. In Romans 12, it starts to talk about if you've been given these roles or responsibilities, there's things you should do. If you're a giver, you should give cheerfully. That's the way it should be done. If we can't give cheerfully, then we're not on the same page with God. These people, they said, "We didn't see any opportunities." Pray for God to open your eyes. That's what we need to pray for, so that we stop making excuses. In the same passage, it talks about, what about if you're a leader? If you're a leader, be diligent. And it doesn't qualify it. Like, this is just spiritual leaders. This is just, he says, if you're a spiritual man or woman and you're a boss at work, be diligent. If you're a teacher here among us, be diligent. If you're a spiritual leader here among us, be diligent. Because what is our excuse going to be? If I stand before you to teach and I'm not diligent, what's my excuse that I can take before God and He'll say, oh, that's okay. But as you look through them to say, what's the excuse to not lead our homes? What's the excuse to let technology rear our children? What's the excuse that we're going to take before God and think He's going to be okay with it? Because if that's where we stand, it's over. If we think what God asks is too big and we start making excuses, then we're saying, God, You're not strong enough to lead me there. Do we trust Him? When here we are, we have an opportunity to meet together with God's people, and instead we make excuses. How's God going to see that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever made an excuse in your life? I know I sure have. How did it go from there? Did it ever get any better when we made excuses? Do you think Jesus knows this? And He's telling us to be warned. If you know what I desire, be wise. Let's finish with one more thought. Look over at Ephesians chapter 5. So what do? We say we're tired of making excuses. We want to live. We want to have eternal life. We want Jesus to claim us. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and look down at verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. It's the how you walk. How do you go about it? Not as unwise men, but as wise. If those foolish virgins had any wisdom, would it have turned out different for them? No doubt. Verse 16. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. If that wicked, lazy slave had been better with his time, would it have turned out better? How many times is our excuse about time? I just don't have time to do that. We all have the same amount of time. We get to decide what we do with it. Will we use it as an excuse? Or will we use it with wisdom? And here, will we make the most of our time? Because the days are evil. If you just roll with the punches, it's not going to lead you to anything spiritual and it's not going to lead us to life. Then verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If those goats had looked around and opened their eyes to see what God's will was for them, do you think it would have affected how they saw one another? And affected the way that they interacted with each other? Isn't that what we need? To be a wise people. To be a people who look at our time and are careful with it and not squander it away. And to be a people who ask ourselves for direction to say, what does God really want from me? Because whenever you find wisdom, whenever we learn to look at our time and use it for Him, and we know God's will, you know what you'll find? No more excuses. Let's just walk with God and let's move forward.